The next topic here seems to be under boy-girl relationships. Questions like, what's wrong with boy-girl relationships? If they're not doing anything wrong or hurting anyone, why do we have to be Shomer Negiyah? Isn't it important to have a relationship with members of the opposite gender in order that males learn to be more sensitive to what their wives' needs will be? What's wrong with a co-ed school? If my parents allow me to hang out, why shouldn't I? Well, this is not an easy one. I think that exactly how to present this needs a lot of chokhmah, because there's a lot of taiva here. It's irrational, it's not logical, and this presenting logical concepts to emotional issues doesn't usually do the job. On an emotional level, what we really have to do is fire up a passion for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if a person has that relationship, oftentimes you can even get people out of this stuff, believe it or not, by learning Shir HaShirim with them. But you have to be very skilled for that, because if we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we realize the depth of satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment and feeling good about ourselves and meaning and purpose in life that can grant us, and if we feel that the energies that we need for that relationship are being vied for by the boy-girl relationship, and we refocus our energies in that direction, it can be much more fulfilling. Of course, this is a long-term thing, and it usually would work with older people, not with young teenagers. Well, the younger they are, the harder it is for them to focus like that. So it's really a long-term process. It really won't happen overnight in many situations. Sometimes a Rebbe or a teacher can also leverage the relationship that they have with the student to encourage them, not to end everything completely, but to certainly work in that direction. Sometimes the only way to work in that direction is to end it completely, and that's a different chokhmah, because like usually little relationships or small relationships or just casual relationships are like being a little bit pregnant, it doesn't stay that way. But be that as it may, I think they have to understand that we live in a very dangerous world. The divorce rate is super high, and there's a lot of correlation between what goes on before marriage between the opposite sexes and what happens after marriage. When we get involved in these relationships early on, we think that we're involved in relationships. We're missing one critical ingredient which makes the relationship completely different, and that is obligation and commitment. And sort of we learn the wrong reactions and attitudes. What we do with each other is not based on mutual respect, based on the personal personal pursuit of pleasure, and therefore we're learning bad habits and bad values for a marriage relationship. If anything, these relationships are hurting and undermining the ability to have the proper marriage relationship. They also hurt in a different way, because we sometimes get involved in things and we don't have the judgment to really judge if they are good for us. A dating shidduch situation deals with, I like to say, computer science and chemistry, biology, and then astronomy being optional. Computer science, on paper, you figure out whether this person makes sense before you even meet the person, so you're not prejudiced or not, your judgment is not subjected to the influence of looks or other things. And if it sounds good on paper, we have the common things that are critical for a relationship to work. As the Gemara says, in order to be mekayim v'ahavta l'recho kamoicho, we go to the next level and we meet. When we meet, there should be some kind of chemistry, some kind of connection, wanting to talk to each other, enjoying each other's company and conversation. Eventually, it should come to biology, where there's some kind of attraction and deeper attractive involvement. And the seeing stars of the astronomy is not necessarily by everyone. Some don't see stars ever. Some don't see until they get engaged. Some don't see until who knows when. And but we undermine this whole process by meeting people earlier, getting involved in relationships which are based on things other than the important values that are critical for our survival in a marriage. And sometimes we get stuck in these relationships and we end up marrying the wrong person because there's so much a part of us we can't get out of it. Sometimes we get out of it, but we're always comparing to an idyllic relationship that had no responsibility, that had no commitment, And then we compare a marriage situation to that, or a dating situation to that, and it doesn't seem to compare, and it causes obstacles, and it causes confusion, and it can mess up your future married life. I like to say to people that, you know, in your generation, this next generation could even celebrate their 85th or 90th wedding anniversary. Theoretically, that's possible. Why give up so many years of marital bliss, or jeopardize so many years of marital bliss for a couple of years of fooling around and having fun? Why do we have to be showing a gear? Well, first of all, there's an obligation in HaTorah, loisikrav, to any erva, and nida is an erva. It also is a total lack of learning the wrong values of respect, because when we're not showing a gear, what we're looking for is our own pleasure, not the giving, because giving love has to be in the context of permanence. It has to be in the context of bonding. It has to be in the context, as the Torah says, Yazav ish ov ish v'dovak b'ishtoi v'hoyu lebosor echod, which is through having children. And this is just cheap, and this is just for thrills and for pleasure. It's wrong. It's disrespectful to the certainly for the boys, to the girl, and the other way too, the way sometimes they go after these guys. And they're certainly learning and imbibing the wrong value system, which can affect their ability to function properly in more meaningful marriage relationships. Importance of members of the opposite sex to learn more in order that males learn to be more sensitive to what their wives' needs will be. Well, the needs of a girlfriend, the needs of a wife are very different. And anything that's without commitment and responsibility does not develop sensitivity to their needs. And, you know, there used to be, I don't know what it was, some movie or something, folks, something like a line, folks are dumb where I come from, they ain't had any learning, still they raise the family doing what comes naturally. There are certain things that come naturally, and this certainly it is appropriate to have training before they're married, to understand what's the needs of a woman, what's the needs of a man, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be giving, what love is, that love is about giving. These are not the kinds of things that you learn in a boy-girl friend relationship at all. In fact, you learn the opposite values, and that's because, for the most part, even though they seem forever, they end so quickly because somebody else comes along, is a little more beautiful, a little more enticing, or I've been enticed by someone, and, you know, that's the story. So they should not worry about that. If anything, the things and the values that they learn are counterproductive to married life. What's wrong with the co-ed school? Well, it's a hard issue to discuss, especially since we're dealing with a spectrum across the board. The issues with co-education are on many levels. There is certainly great distraction in the competition between the sexes. There's great distraction in the social interaction that's always on their mind when they're together with the opposite sex. We do not see, for the most part, real committed growth in ruchnius, in Yiddishkeit, in learning Torah and in Shmiras HaMitzvahs in a co-ed environment because of the distraction. And I like to say that the energies that we need in service of Hashem, we vie for in the co-ed relationship. There's a similar type of energies of involvement and relationship and passion. And when we use them up in that area, we compromise them in terms of our goals and in religious goals. And it's very difficult. It doesn't lend itself. I think even in the secular world, they've come to realize with many studies that in most cases people concentrate better when they're not in this competitive social environment. And certainly in the world in which we live today, when there's so much social interaction, there's so much social opportunity, and there's the internet and what have you, and people are so connected, they really need at least a piece of their lives, if not all of their lives, which it should be, where they're just focused on their religious studies, on their learning, on their personal growth, without all of the baggage that comes with a co-ed situation. If my parents allow me to hang out, why shouldn't I? Well, unfortunately, we have to discredit parents a little bit. I think I mentioned in a different part in this thing, no parents today realize how serious the temptation and the challenges and the Nisyonis are out there, because we grew up 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when the world was much different, and the generation gap now skips by 3 or 5 generations, and what little kiddies know today, adults of yesteryear had no clue, and therefore that has to be taken into consideration. And second of all, as mentioned before, ultimately, our obligation is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's best for our relationship with Him, what's best for our observance of His Torah, and therefore we have to live with that. That's really what's critical to us.